Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 22. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. They didn't get the whole thing, evidently, because this is a fondness for this ongoing slapping of backs. Now, there's other times we see him arguing about it, but here this word's interesting. They're sitting around the table. It's getting close. They're in Jerusalem. The king has presented himself. Maybe they've lost their minds a little bit, right? But it's Falan Nagi, and it's telling them that this is a fun thing they pick up all the time. Who's going to be greatest? So Jesus has a few things. He's been dealing with them on this earlier when they were out on the road, but now here they are in the room, and the Bible says that Jesus said that, you know this in verse 25, that the kings exercise lordship over them and authority upon them and are called benefactors. This is interesting because I just read something that Abraham Lincoln said, and obviously I can't quote it all, but he was giving a kind of a dichotomy of several things. And one of them was, you don't ever want to dismiss the person who employs you. That was one of them. He said, you don't want to ever dismiss the person who employs you because he's your benefactor. He's done good things to you. He's given you a job. We're in a day where we question everybody and we frown upon everybody and we critique everybody and we want there to be my fair share. Your fair share is hell, okay? Okay, if we start there, we can work our way from there and be a lot better served than thinking we are the kings of the world and we need to be pandered to. No, we don't deserve anything. I'm thankful God lets me in the room, to be honest with you. This is an honor to be able to share with you and to have had the years of being able to share. It's not been a cakewalk. I'm not completely wired to this position. I don't understand it, but my heart, my passion is to teach and preach the Word. So I guess God knows what's best. But what I'm telling you is that these things that Jesus is dealing with now are things that we need to learn from. It's not old news. It's not something we've beaten. We need to be people who understand. We don't want to be the greatest. We want to be the servant. What does he say? He says, the kings, they exercise lordship and they have authority and they're called benefactors. He says, but you shall not be so. He says, everyone among you should act like the younger man. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, let a man rise up in the presence of an older man. We get it, okay? And you should do it. But if you're the older man, you should be having a problem if you think you deserve it, okay? I remember Wayne was here. We miss Wayne, don't we? Wayne's a blessing. We miss him. He's on home. He's all good now. But Wayne, he'd stand up for me. I'm like, dude, you know, just a guy. You are amazing, you know, just because he's 87 and he's got his nice suit on. He's always dressed to the nines, as it were. He always showed up even when he wasn't feeling 100%, right? It was a blessing. But he didn't expect me to stand up for him, but he stood up for me. And the man who is standing up, what I'm saying, younger. You're supposed to act like the younger, not the older, not the better. If you're great, get down on your knees and serve. Wash some feet, like Jesus did in that night. He won't talk about it in washing feet here, but it's the concept. He says, listen, he says, he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger man. And he that is chief, let him be as he that doth serve. Wow, revolutionary, right? I'll tell you what, it would take a lot of the thorniness out of this world we're living in right now, wouldn't it? Because you get a lot more from giving. Jesus, the last words that we really have telegraphed to us from Jesus, it wasn't in the Gospels. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says, did not the Lord himself say, it is more blessed to give than to receive, right? And so he's saying, give, give, serve, serve. You know, be as the younger. Be somebody who's more about others than self, because it's when we get to the place where we think we deserve things that it makes it harder when we don't get them. So expectations and everything, right? So there's always something to do if you're willing to be the servant, right? You're not going to be bored. You're not going to be miffed. You're going to be the servant. You're going to be just under. I try to do that at work, and it's harder because I'm older and the guys don't know what they're doing as much. Okay, so I can't just go in there with five other guys who know what I do. They don't know because I'm an oddity for that. But my point is, I would always get the water with other guys. I would just come, I'll get the water, I'll do this. Why? Because I didn't have anything to prove. I had Jesus. I was good, you know. They don't know Jesus. I want them to see him. Listen, that's the way. It's a hard way. Because prosperity and position and status, it can puff up. If you want to give a good illustration of that, just think of how the devil, the covering cherub, got puffed up from all of that. He had beauty, he had position, he had wisdom, he had it all. And he fell. Iniquity was found in him. Verse 27 says, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat?" He says, "But I am among you as one that serveth. So be like me. Follow me." He says, "You are they which have continued with me through my temptations." The word here is the idea of trials, because all of his life was a trial. He was the lamb. Every year of his life was a trial. In the last few days, they'd seen him being poked and prodded by the leadership of Jerusalem. They couldn't find any spot in him. The word literally has the idea of being pierced through, because it's like checking with a strike stone to see whether something was really gold or, you know, fake. You know, those kind of things. It's the word that means to be struck to see what's inside. He says, "You've been with me through all that." And he says, "And I appoint you a kingdom." Aren't you glad it's in there again? You know, if you realize we're praying, "Your kingdom come," I just want you to know, it's coming. Okay, it's coming. It's on the agenda. We're right at the cusp, I believe. That's my conviction. I believe it's coming. And I believe it's soon. We've been praying it for millennia. And the Bible says, "I appoint you a kingdom." Jesus was talking about this all the time. Disciples, they're all about it. "Sure, where? Can I sit on your right? Can I sit on your left?" He said, "Well, we'll talk about that later. That's the Father's to give." But here you have people all thinking about the kingdom, but they didn't get it, did they? They thought it was going to be a kingdom. Didn't know about the church being interposed here. Verse 30 says, "This is a kingdom that you may eat and drink at my table and sit on thrones." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee." And we can say this today. Satan has desired everyone in this room. And there are going to be times when it's more pronounced because it's your turn. There are some times when I go through something, I think, well, it was my turn. It was my turn. I don't like my turn. You want to take my turn? We all got our turn, right? There's a day, every day. You know, you go through, you wonder if this is, you know, it's a good day. Everything's, you know, feeling, everything's good, working, everything's greased up, I'm good. And one day you get up, your back's out, you know. You got a heart that's flipping out, a little flutter, and you're thinking, am I going to die? You know, is this that big thing? And we think that as you get older. You say, was this the one? And then it goes away, and you're like, okay, for another couple months, you're good. But what I'm saying is we live on that tenuous place. And there's coming a day when the devil's going to want to sift us, and he's going to get an open season. God's going to say, I'm going to step back just for a minute. And in this case, the Bible says Satan has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Notice what? He is our advocate. Remember that? My little children, 1 John chapter 2, he says, I've written unto you that you sin not. He says, but if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's interceding for us too. Aren't you glad that's true? You stumble, the accuser of the brethren get up and start pointing the finger at you, and Jesus steps up and says, I don't think so. I got that. I took care of that. When I was on the cross, I knew that was coming. I paid for that too. You see, Jesus paid for everything. And you are complete in Him. You cannot be a soldier for Jesus unless you know how secure you are. This is what's a tragedy about Afghanistan. Our people are over there and they're uncovered, right? They're without cover. But we are not without cover. We have Jesus. Verse 32 says, I pray for you that your faith fail not. That's the thing, right? Your faith. Sometimes you think, well, remember, Peter fell pretty hard, right? Denied Christ three times. And then the Bible tells us very deliberately, after he did it, Jesus shows up. But even after he sees Jesus, he says, I'm going fishing. I don't have any oomph anymore. I got no buoyancy in my step. I'm going fishing. A couple of guys said, yeah, I'll go with you. You know what's cool? Jesus went too. He was on the shore. He says, children, have you caught anything? And you know what's funny? They didn't have to go fishing because there was food on the grill. Come and dine. Stop running from Jesus. Stop running from God. Allow Him to nurse your wounds, heal your wounds, give you the fortification you need. The Bible says, in fact, you're going to deny me, Peter, 34. He says, you will deny me three times that you don't even know. You'll say, I don't even know Him. And the word for know means to know Him. And it means to see Him. So not just experience Him. You know, people in history, they see Jesus on the canvas. You see Jesus in your life. But what I want you to recognize is that when you know Jesus, you really see Him. You see, some people go to church and they hear, oh, it's a nice little sermonette. And, you know, Jesus and God and, you know, good things and be nice. And they go out and they feel like they did their part and they feel good about it. And it's good to be in church, but going to church is not what it's about. Going to church is not what it's about. It's knowing you're going to heaven and getting on God's side, getting the laleo, okay, the communion, getting that going on. You need to get communion with Jesus together. And then you see Him for who He is. He's King. They see Him as something of a novelty, but He split time. He broke the grave open. He rolled away the stone. He showed himself for who he was. He shows up even to this day in people's lives. Peter's going to say, I don't know him. And his word is going to be, I don't know him. I don't see him. I don't even know what he's talking about. I never saw the man. Really? But you know, we look at him and we say, man, Peter, tisk. But you've done it and I've done it. Somebody pushed and you fell back into the shadow. And you said, oh, yeah, not me. Now, verse 35, he says, when I sent you without script and purse, did you lack anything? Nothing, Lord. Verse 35. Verse 36 says, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise, the script. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And people, Christians, we're conscientious objectors. That's not what the Bible says. There's a time of war and a time of peace. I heard about a church this past week at the festival. They were saying their church open carries. I'm like, wow. I know a guy over at Wiener King. He open carries in his establishment. It's worth going in there and getting a hot dog just to say, hey, what's up, you know? But he's ready if things get dicey downtown, right? You know, things might get dicey in America. And you have the right to defend your home. And I'm telling you, you do. Bonhoeffer had to go through a whole journey to figure that out. He was ready to feed the poor and do all that. But when they said, you are not allowed to feed the poor. You are not allowed to help the Jews who are being led away to slaughter. You're not allowed to help them. Well, he had a conundrum. He was left with nothing to do because he couldn't do what he thought he should do, and that's love, and that's a good thing to do. But when he began to think and ponder and be left to his own devices and have nothing he can do for those who are the most oppressed in his day, the Jews, he comes over to America and he goes to a black church and they're just singing glory. It was just like, man, those people know something I don't. And he got a dose of Jesus and he went back and he began to help conspire against Hitler and tried to bring him down because he understood there was a time of war and a time of peace. You have the right to defend yourself and your family. The offensive thing is a little dicier if you're not enlisted in army and have that authority. And we could talk about that. I won't go into it further. There are answers to that question. But you and I, the Bible teaches very clearly that this is a dicey time. Not only is he out there trying to sift Peter, but he's going to be trying to sift you. You need to be on the defense. The Bible has us with armor, you know, breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation. You know, helmet of salvation means you're convinced you're saved. Nobody can hurt that. If you're convinced, you're convinced. And the breastplate of righteousness is you're doing the right thing in keeping with what you know is true. And then you have your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what that means? That means that you're going to go out there and share Jesus with somebody. Okay? That's the goal. That's the thing. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Now, as we wind this down, the Bible says in verse 37, it says, for I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he says these words from Isaiah. He says, he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. When you think about these words, you just want to remind yourself of something. You're living in hostile territory. It was a big deal. It was such a big deal that our captain had to tread the winepress alone. He had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. He had to absorb the consequences of every sin of every person in every sector of this world. Every one of us has a story to tell. Every one of us has a story to bring. Every one of us is going to bring our jewel of who he is and what he did for us. We're going to brag on Jesus forever. Your job right now is to try to win a couple medals for your breastplate so you can go in there and cast them at Jesus' feet. You say, well, I don't believe in all that. Read your Bible. It doesn't matter what you believe in on your own. Don't trust your heart. Take God at his word. He gave you incentives. He said, step up, stand up, stay up, go out, give them Jesus. That's what you're supposed to do. It's not about your next toy. It's not about your next accomplishment in business or whatever. It's about Jesus. All that stuff just supports our ministry. We have a ministry. You're a believer priest. Go out and tell them about Jesus. And they will find him through you if you'll be able to be consistent enough in your life to be credible. So you try to get yourself cleaned up. You go out there, you show them Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, they will be able to hear you. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.